Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Wood and my guest today is Aldo Vacca. Aldo is the managing director of the Produttori del Barbaresco, which is basically the cooperative in the Barbaresco region, which is in Piemonte. Aldo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So first question is, how big is your cooperative? How many members or soci do you have?
We have 54 members, farmers. We produce 500,000 bottles and we control around 110 hectares of Nebbiolo grapes out of a total of the appellation of 700. So for Barbaresco, we are a large winery, but in the scheme of the wine world, we are relatively medium size.
Right. So the Barbaresco cooperative is known in Italy as being, if not one of the best, certainly the best cooperative. What is the secret of your success? Is it the fact that you're fairly small size and you have fantastic terroir, or is it a little bit more than that?
That is true, but it's a little bit more than that. There's one secret of the success of Produttori was the decision that was taken at the year of the foundation in 1958 to focus on one grape only, Nebbiolo, and one wine only, Barbaresco. And everything came consequently out of that decision. Back in those days, it wasn't an easy decision. In fact, it was a bit of a marketing suicide to do that. Barbaresco was not an easy wine to sell, and it was not a wine widely consumed. Of course, local people were drinking mainly Dolcetto, Barbera, and Barbaresco was reserved for special events, maybe twice a year for a wedding or anniversary, and usually in those special occasions, Barolo was the choice. So here we are, we have a wine which with a reputation, but without much of a market. A wine that is limited to special events and is a second choice for those. Focusing on that wine only for a winery, it was quite a big step. And even nowadays, we are the only winery in the region that is a monovarietal, basically, makes only Barbaresco and crushes only Nebbiolo from the Barbaresco appellation. So because of that decision made marketing business like difficult, it forced the winery to produce quality. The only way to survive on the market, if you make only Barbaresco, is to make it good, because Barbaresco doesn't have and never had the low-end market. And also, even more important, it forced the farmers, the soci, to build a quality mindset when they were growing their grapes. In the years when everything was more focusing about quantity, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, these farmers took the opposite way because it was the way for them to survive. The decision of making only Barbaresco was not easy, but the founder of the winery was the local priest.
Really?
Don Fiorino, which was a young priest that was moved by the bishop in Barbaresco in 1954. And he had this idea of giving a chance to the villagers to make a better living and maybe saving his parish, because everybody, of course, were kind of selling their land and moving to Torino or to Milano.
So that was that may seem strange to us today, that Barbaresco and Nebbio and Piemonte, beautiful area, but in those days after the war, Italy was incredibly poor, and the Italian economic miracle happened after the war, where famous brands like Fiat, for example, were churning out cars that everybody wanted to buy, and obviously you're guaranteed a salary in the city. It's much easier, well, not easy work, but more reliable work, should we say, than working on slopey, hard slopes in the Barbaresco region on a hot day. So that is why people were leaving the land. So that must have been a real struggle when the priest said, listen, let's try and preserve our heritage. Yes. And the only way we can do it is by sticking together, right?
Sticking together. Together you can achieve something that would be impossible to do on your own, because you are too small to have your own winery. And so if you grow your land, you are forced to sell your grapes and the price is set by the buyers. That was what was happening in the 50s.
So what is the typical size on average of your soci, of your members, and what range are we talking about? Well, who is the smallest and who is the biggest in terms of size?
The average size is like 2 hectares.
Which is tiny.
Very tiny. There's a number like a dozen of soci that they just have just a half an acre. It's very tiny. They're just like the local postman or an old lady in the village that still has a piece of land. And then there are some of the soci that have 4 or 5. One, the biggest has 11 hectares.
Which is still very small.
Yeah, still very small. Again, usually too small to have your own winery, although these days you can start a boutique winery and sell your wine, Barbaresco, for 50 euros a bottle. But in those days, it was practically impossible. So that decision, making only Nebbiolo, was very crucial. Then, of course, the terroir is very important. The fact that Barbaresco was a little behind Barolo in terms of sales and marketing and reputation, the result of that fact was that the owners of the top crews, the top land in Barbaresco in the 50s, were basically still farmers. Like a lot of the best vineyards in Barolo were already owned by people making wine, in Barbaresco they were still farmers. And so when the priest was able to convince, now the priest in those days had enough charisma, these days will not be like that, because there were 19 farmers, the original founders, now stubborn Piemontese farmers, not very easy to get along, but the priest pushed them. And so the farmers that joined, they actually owned pieces of the great crews. I think we are the only, at least one of very, very few wine cooperatives in Europe that can claim control on the majority of the Grand Crus, if you want to call so, of the region. So terroir is very important. The decision on focus on that terroir only and Barbaresco only, and not spreading to Dolcetto, Barbera, white wines. The other decision was very important at the beginning, was the 100% delivery. So my 54 farmers, they deliver to the winery only the Nebbiolo grapes that they grow. If they grow Dolcetto, Chardonnay, they do whatever they want. But when it comes to the Nebbiolo, they have to deliver 100% of their Nebbiolo. So they cannot compete with the cooperative. A lot of cooperatives allow their farmers to do both. And we trust them, but not too much. So we prefer, they are obliged to deliver all the Nebbiolo that they grow, so they cannot keep on the best one and deliver the not so good. So very, very focused on that. And finally, the third decision was taken right from the beginning, from day one, was the quality reward. The higher quality of the grapes, the more money per kilo of grapes.
So how many grades are there in terms of quality? Is it like three grades, five grades?
31.
31 grades? We 31 build, just growing grapes?
Yes. It's very precise. We measure quality these days by measuring for each load of grapes, sugar, color, and tannins. At the beginning, it was just sugar. But every single load of grapes that comes to the winery is weighted, crushed. A sample is taken, like half a pint of juice, put into a spectrophotometer, and three numbers pop out from the spectrophotometer: sugar level, color, brightness, and ripeness of the fannin or the phenolic of the tannins. So by measuring color, sugar, and tannins, we have a precise quality judgment of that single batch. And at the end of the harvest, we build a scoreboard from the lower quality to the top quality. Last year, just to give you an example, we paid 2.5 euros per kilo up to 5.6. So 31 steps of 10 cents. Every little extra color, every little extra sugar level gets 10, 20, 30 extra cents per kilo. So the farmers are very focused. They deliver the grapes multiple times. Now they pick one vineyard first because it's ripe. They wait for the other little plot to ripe a little longer. If rain is coming, they may deliver the bottom of the hill first and wait for the top of the hill to survive the rain. If the weather is nice, the top of the hill comes in first and the bottom of the hill ripens a little longer in the October sun. So they take those decisions themselves, but they know that the better quality they deliver at the time of picking, the more money will be in their pocket. We don't really pay grapes. We share profit. So the more successful is the business, the bigger is the cake to be shared. How big each single piece of the cake is depends on how much land the farmer owns and how good his grapes were in that given vintage. Now, this is something that a lot of cooperatives, a lot of wineries do these days, although the 31 steps is quite rare. But quality reward really started to become a factor in the Lange in Piemonte in the 80s. We started to implement that from 1958. That really, again, set the produttori apart from many other cooperatives.
Yeah, set the Barbaresco cooperative. And some people probably wondering why people would want to bother just selling grapes rather than making their own wine. If you're a small producer, you're not going to have the economy of scale to buy vats or to build a winery. And then there's all the commercial side, you know, all the legal side, the designing labels and bottling and corks and storage and boxes and invoices and customs declaration, all that sort of stuff. So they're kind of avoiding that, which means that they can actually focus on one thing, which is growing the grapes. And that is why this system, that's the great advantage of the system of the cooperative in general, but also this particular cooperative, that there is this absolute focus using these quality parameters.
Yes, and then of course, they also have, if you want to start your own winery, besides all the things you mentioned, you also have to be willing to deal with people and be nice with people. And Piemontese farmers, sometimes they just like to stay on their own. So no, there's a lot of skills that are required to start a successful winery. Of course, these days, it will be easy for some of them to do it because these days the market is booming. But at this point, the produttori is so well established and we pay their grapes so well that from a strictly financial point of view, there's no reason to leave produttori. Of course, if you are a farmer with a good piece of land and you have a big ego and you want to put your name on the label, then you leave and start your own winery. But if you look only at the finances, at the economy, just doesn't make any sense. So in the 60 years of lifetime of Produttori, only four farmers left, less than one per decade, to start their own winery. And we got some new, so from 19 we grew up to 54. It's been a nice balance. We're still small, but you know, we control more than half of the Nebbiolo vineyards in the village of Barbaresco itself. So we're very much a Barbaresco village winery.
Do you have any contact with other high-quality cooperatives in Italy? Say, for example, in the Marco, they're quite known for some really high-quality cooperatives, mainly producing white wine, but also a little bit of red. Do you get together and chat about stuff or not?
Occasionally, but not in a... Although I thought about doing the Vinitaly Fair or other fairs together with top wine cooperatives, or bringing the message of the cooperatives in the wine fairs. But then we never actually get to that. Of course, I know several of them, and we are in good relationship, but we think more about us just like as a winery. So I sometimes do promotion and marketing with other privately owned wineries from the same region, rather than trying to coordinate effort with cooperatives from other regions. It just seems like Piemontese kind of stick together.
So what about the main markets?
We sell 70% of our production in the export market. The number one market, like everybody else in Piemonte these days, is the USA. We sell one-third of our total production to the US.
And the main states?
California and New York, but we have a very good market in the Northwest. So Oregon, Washington State, they've been loyal followers of Piemonte wines and Produttori de Barbaresco in specific since the 90s. But of course, California and New York State are the biggest. The Boston area, of course, that's also the usual big market. But it's also a growing market. Actually, we cannot keep up with the demand. So we are not really exploring much of the new markets like Eastern Europe or the Far East. So we sell more in the historical markets, which are Northern Europe, North America, and Japan. That's the big chunk of our export market. And then 30%, so one-third again, is the domestic market. Because Produttori de Barbaresco is a very strong brand locally, in Piemonte.
Isn't that a good thing, Milan, though?
It's a good thing. It's good to be present in the local restaurants because, of course, we have flocks of tourists coming. And then it's nice to be well-received from the local people. Sometimes resident local people, they want to drink a good local wine, but maybe they don't want to spend the extra money that comes with the reputation or things. So they know that they can trust Produttori as a very true Barbaresco, very good quality and very good value as well.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Aldo Vacca, for explaining the ins and outs of the cooperative system at the Produttori Barbaresco. Italy's number one cooperative, but I think I'm pretty safe saying that Italy's number one cooperative, to hear about the history and to get a real sense of what it is like being in a cooperative, because it's in some ways it's a bit of a closed world. Oh, it's just people just dump their grapes and they get paid by kilo and they're just going for yield and all that. But in your case, with these parameters that you and your team have laid out, show that it's a very complex but very fair system that you've created.
Yes, it's very fair to all the farmers. Again, that's why we measure the quality with a machine, so there's no debate. And it's relatively simple because it's a well-oiled machine that we have been
60 years
doing this system for 60 years.
Yeah.
And it's just one grape.
Yeah.
So that makes life a little easier when it comes to the quality evaluation and the strategic decisions to be taken. So we have three labels: the Lange Nebbiolo, which is the introductory level, which is a declassified Barbaresco, basically. Then we make the Barbaresco, which is a blend of Nebbiolo grapes from the region, from the appellation. And then in the best years, we also release 9 single vineyards, like the Grand Cru, 9 historical vineyards from the village of Barbaresco. We select, cherry pick the best grapes from those 9 vineyards, age them a couple of extra years and sell them under the reserve program.
So what are some of the names of those crews?
Azili, very famous, always high scores. Rabaia, Monte Stefano, Ovello. These are all geographical sites. For example, I live in the Ovello region on top of the hill, but the vineyards around my house, that's the Ovello area. So strictly a difference in terroir, no? A little bit more sand, a little more calcium, a little closer to the river, a little steeper, south exposed, southeast. Now those things that makes a difference from one vineyard to the other. Vinified exactly in the same way on purpose, just to show the terroir rather than trying to make the wine better or more similar.
So a great thing to do if you're a student of wine and you're allowed to, and you ask Aldo and his team very, very nicely, would be to go into the winery at harvest time, maybe a few weeks after the harvest has started, to taste the different crews as they finished fermenting to get a sense of Barbaresco from the cooperative point of view, but also the individualities that go up to make the blend at the end. That would be a fascinating thing. I don't know if you allow people to do that, but...
Not on a regular basis because we don't have enough wine, but occasionally, yeah. You know, I organize like...
Just charge 1,000 euros for a ticket. You know, maybe they get a plate of salami as well.
Yeah. But it's true that the horizontal tasting, so the same vintage, 9 vineyards, vinified exactly in the same way, is a fascinating experience because it's the same winemaking and you can really appreciate the little
nuances
of the terroir.
Aldo Vacca from the Produttori del Barbaresco, which is the Barbaresco Cooperative. Thanks very much for opening the door to your wonderful cooperative in Piemonte.
Thank you.
And you spoke beautifully and eloquently about the benefits of being in a cooperative, and it's good to hear. I like it when people work together. Italy is always, they're such individuals, which you guys are, but when you work together and produce the results that you do, that it shows that a bit of teamwork sometimes is a great thing.
Yes, it's a good thing, and it's well managed. It works fine, everybody's happy, you know, the money flows nicely, and the reputation is there, so the farmers are also proud to be part of something so special.
Great stuff. Aldo Vacca, Produttori del Barbaresco, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.